Guy Vermeulen, hello. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Yes, thank you for the invitation.
Thank you, it's a pleasure. You're the CEO of ECMC, the Ethics and Compliance Management Consulting.
Yes.
And we look forward to going in depth in understanding public value and compliance and ethics. But before that, I'd like to ask you, what does public value mean to you personally?
Yes, public value to me means that, acting in the general interest. So, being ethical, doing the right things. Me personally, I hate anything that is unfair. And that's why I really enjoy being working in the field of ethics and compliance, making sure trying to ensure that people and companies do the right things.
Well, I see the moral aspect, of course, of ethics, but sometimes we are confronted with dilemmas. And sometimes it's actually quite difficult to do the right thing when the law allows two different positions. So is it something you bring as an expertise to companies?
So the dilemmas, that's so what I also do is I do quite a lot of dilemma training, because, well, who am I to say what is right? So I think these are the things that we need to have a discussion on, and then try to see whether we can get to some common position. On the one hand, there is the law. But there is also the intention behind the law, and the law is also a reflection of beliefs in society. So, as a compliance officer, I'm stimulating people to make sure that they stay within the boundaries of the law. But also, as an ethics and compliance officer, I try to make sure that they also look at, okay, doing the right things. So sometimes there are things that are not prohibited by law, but that may not necessarily be the right thing to do. And I want, when I work at a company, I want my employees to think about that and have a discussion about that. So I do a lot of dilemma sessions. Whenever I do a compliance training, I always try to fit in a little dilemma so we can have a discussion. Yeah.
Is the right solution to a dilemma always what the majority thinks it is?
that is a good question. Not necessarily, and these are actually also that's also one of the topics that I try to discuss when we are having those dilemma sessions. So it's if you take a position, there may be some people who would, let's say, lose, and how do you take account of the interests of let's say the minorities? So that is also an important aspect of a dilemma, I would say.
Mm. So take into consideration the interest or the needs of the minorities is part of ethics, generally speaking. And I understand that taking into consideration the needs of our planet and the environment is also becoming part of ethics, yes?
Okay, so there are connections between ethics and compliance on the one hand, and let's say CSR, corporate social responsibility, on the other hand. Maybe the Volkswagen case is a good example. So what happened there is that Volkswagen, there was this emission scandal. They cheated, they had a cheating device, and as a result, there has been more. There are more emissions indeed than there should be, and you can look at that like so it started like just a little technical problem at a company, and people probably said, well, just solve it because we need to have the factory has to work and We need to produce cars, so this technical problem has to be solved. And there were a couple of engineers who thought, okay, so let me let's solve this challenge by making a cheating device. But I wonder whether they realized that what the effects would be. And I still don't think that there are a lot of people who actually realize what the effects has been. So there has been some research by the University of Nijmegen who said that as a result of this cheating device, this has already costed in the 10,000s of healthy life years of people. So that is something. You know, if you're just trying to solve a technical problem, that may not come up in your mind immediately. And it's also because there's no direct cause and effect. So you can't say, okay, so my aunt died 2 years early because Volkswagen made this cheating device. So there's no, so people don't hold it against Volkswagen that much. But, you know, if you look at it from an ethical perspective and an environmental perspective, a CSR perspective, and it was also a compliance challenge.
I know you advocate for increased authority for ethics and compliance officers within companies. Do you think they are not heard enough these days?
Things are improving, so things are getting better. And if I look at company scandals, there's usually something wrong with the controls, financial controls or compliance controls, with the culture and behavior within the company or within the governance. And then I usually, because that's my profession, I focus on the governance of the ethics and compliance people. So what I sometimes see is that that sometimes the compliance people know of a problem, but they are not being heard. So there's no, sometimes, for example, it is possible when they report into legal or into a risk officer that the real ethical debate is not had at board level. I usually propose that ethics and compliance officers, that they have a direct reporting line to the board, also to the supervisory board or the audit committee, and to make sure that they are being heard, that they are empowered, and that they have the right, the access to certain certain information and things like that. Yeah.
We increasingly see sustainability reports. Companies really work on sustainability, not only for reputational purposes, but also to embrace this idea that business is here to be good to society and the environment. Do you think an ethics report need also to become public and to be pushed forward, or should it be integrated into sustainability?
So what I've seen recently is that there is more and more attention for what they call ESG investing.
Yes.
So there are ESG indexes, I recently saw that there is even recently a company launched a first ESG tracker. When I look at my CEO and CFO, when do they really get nervous? It's when they have their quarterly call with the analysts, because the result of the call is going to be an advice from the analyst to buy or to hold or to sell the share. And this is something that that is usually very important for the CEO and CFO, because that determines how they are perceived, how good they are doing. So I was thinking, can't we develop something, an indicator of ethics to stimulate people? So analysts can ask about how the company is doing on in regard of ethics, give a hold, buy or sell advice accordingly. Because I strongly believe that ethical companies, that they also will perform better financially in the long term. So there's a connection between the two, ethics and financial performance. But I can imagine it's very difficult to develop something like an ethical index. So I see the ESG index as a first step. So as I said before, so there are connections between CSR and ethics, but it's not exactly the same. So I've also been thinking, well, I encourage this development towards investors trying to invest in companies that have a good reputation on ESG. But I'm thinking like, shouldn't we add something about ethics there? But how to do that? Yeah.
Well, the reason why I'm asking is that you also advocate for good ethics as a leverage for trust, for increasing trust. Yeah. And this is exactly the same discourse, the same narrative as sustainability experts would use. They say that basically if a company develops a proper sustainability strategy, if such a strategy is included into corporate strategies, the company is more able or is better positioned to develop trust. This is exactly the same for ethics. It's the same narrative. It's not the same. These are not the same indicators we're talking about, but the narrative and the process is the same. Therefore, why don't we include a reasoning and understanding the philosophy of a sustainable company that is also ethical?
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So, and trust, I think, is one of the key terms in my profession. So if I want to ensure that people do the right thing, as I said, so it would be good to have a discussion. So you need to have an open culture where people feel free to challenge decisions, to have discussions. There should be transparency about the decisions that upper management takes and why they take them. Companies that have a culture of trust will also be trusted. And also, I think if there's a culture of trust and a culture of discussing things together, working together, there will, in the end, be more creativity, because people will not be afraid to come up with crazy ideas and discuss that with their colleagues. And I think it will also stimulate creativity within organizations. And I think that might actually be the main driver of the main relationship between trust and financial performance. Yeah.
What are the main challenges today for a CEO to implement trust?
I don't think it's something that you learn at business school. So it's within the Netherlands, with a group of compliance officers, we faced the same challenge, and we went to sit together. We are with a group of around 20 people, and we thought, okay, so which tools do we have we used in the past that were successful? So we were sitting together, exchanging experiences, and at a given moment we started writing things like, okay, so this is something that I did that really worked. And we recently launched a toolbox with, now we now have 45 tools for compliance officers to influence culture and behavior. So at this moment, I would say to board members, go to your compliance officer and ask them how to influence culture and behavior.
If your tool is in English, we will gladly integrate a link to it on this webpage, because I believe it can be very useful to a number of CEOs or even top managers.
Indeed, yeah. And so at the moment it's in Dutch, but we are thinking about translating it and and how to make it available for a broader audience. So at this moment, it's only available for members of the Dutch Compliance Officer Association. But yeah, but we're thinking about that.
Okay, and tell us a bit, how does it look like? I understand it's a number of factors put together.
What we call Expert Group on Culture and Behavior, we use a model developed by Muel Kaptein, who is a professor at the Erasmus University in Rotterdam. And he developed a model on with eight factors that influence behavior. So things like transparency, accountability, incentives and discipline, things like that. And so we drafted tools to influence each of the eight factors. And if you go to the toolbox, you can select, okay, so I want to influence this factor this part of our organization, like, okay, so how do I influence transparency with the board or with the middle management or second line of defense? And you can also select the current level of maturity of your own organization, because not every tool will work in every type of organization. So, and that way you can select a number of tools that might be appropriate for your organization. On the other hand, you can also just say, oh, I will pick one myself out of the list. So that's also possible, yeah.
Excellent, that sounds really practical and interesting. Geert, we touched upon ethics and the relationship with sustainability. We discussed trust, and all this actually is in a long-term perspective, obviously, culture. How do you link all these crucial elements with public value?
So in practice, I try to do that through storytelling, like telling about, for example, this Volkswagen case, telling about the effects of corruption on society, because that is also, so if you look at it, at corruption at the micro level, people think, okay, so, you know, I pay you something, you give me something back. We both benefit, nobody gets hurt. But if you look at it at a macro level, the effects, the macro effects of corruption are devastating. And I try to demonstrate that, for example, by showing pictures of the victims of corruption. So that's how I try to make the connection between things like compliance, ethics, CSR, and public values.
Yes, you're absolutely right. In the international law, the victims of corruption are not yet acknowledged. And there is, I know, there is some work done to start acknowledging them. But there is a link very clearly made by the UN between grand-scale corruption and poverty, and grand-scale corruption and public health issues. And I suspect that we would need to work on that. I suspect that there is a hidden link also between public value and ethics and compliance. I'm actually, I believe that, I want to believe in it. So that means, Geert, we will keep working together and try to demonstrate how this work together. We're getting to the end of our conversation, unfortunately. Tell me, please, when a CEO comes to you and says, I'm overwhelmed, you know, all these questions about sustainability, I want to do the right thing, but I'm also totally linked to my board and I do need to bring profit. What is the first advice that you usually give for people to have all these elements very well aligned?
Yeah, so so what I used to do when I tried to sell ethics and compliance program in the past, I would focus on fear. So I would tell them, okay, so if you don't invest in the compliance program, you may have big problems and that you may go to jail, there may be prosecution, you will have like big legal costs to defend yourself and also to and cost of forensic investigations. So so you should invest in an ethics and compliance program to make sure that you won't suffer those losses and to limit your liability. What I also say is, well, you have to invest in an ethics and compliance program because it's the right thing to do. But board members who are under a lot of pressure to show financial results, they do not always respond to that that well. So what I try to do nowadays is to evidence, and luckily there's more and more evidence that ethical companies also perform better financially in the long term. So that's what I try to show them. And I try to stimulate this long-term thinking.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Geert.
Yes, thank you. You're welcome.
And we'll be in touch, of course. Good luck for the next few weeks and months.
Great, thank you. Good luck to you as well.